high desert
in the great American Southwest. I bid you all good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you may be in the world's time zones. Prolific as they are and covered like a blanket, every one of them, by this program, Coast to Coast AM. Very much of an alternative kind of voice in the night, no question about that. A couple of items to cover at the beginning. My webcam shot this night, taken just a very few moments ago with my beautiful wife, Ramona, right behind me. And so you can see the state of the room and the smile on my beautiful wife's face right behind me, instead of just having to stare at my ugly mug. Now, the Earth is being bombarded. From the time I got off the air last night, actually prior to that, through right now, forecasters at the NOAA Space Environment Center in Boulder, Colorado, observed a geomagnetic storm on Sunday, May 15th, which they classified as an extreme event, measuring G5, the highest level on the NOAA Space Weather Scales, and I can certainly vouch for that. We all got together, and we gather on 3840 kilohertz on 75 meters, usually after the program, and everybody sounded like they were underwater, which, of course, was an effect produced by the aurora, which many saw, kind of a pink sky. In fact, we had a little pinkish sky here in the desert telling you how far down the aurora reached. So the sun is raging, even though we're at kind of a low spot in the sunspot cycle. The sun is absolutely raging out there. Now, last night I told you I had breaking news and that Jeff Wilkes, that's his name, had actually taken video of what appear to be the Phoenix Lights, not way back when, but instead on May 12th, just a few days ago. Jeff and some others, for whatever reason, we're going to find out right now, they actually represent an organization, I guess, in Phoenix. Well, let's find out. Jeff, welcome to the program.
Hi, Art. It's great. It's an honor to be on your show.
Good to have you. You have an organization in Phoenix. Now, was a right. UFO-type organization, right?
Right. My name's Jeff Willis, and I run the website UFOsOverPhoenix.com. So I get lots of reports, lots and lots of sighting reports.
Was your organization born out of the original Phoenix Lights thing,
yeah,
or
it,
what?
It actually was. I videotaped the original Phoenix Lights at 7:30 that night, before the other incidences happened. So it pretty much inspired me to start hunting these things on video full-time.
Full-time? Okay, when you say full-time, are you out every night, every other night, what?
Every night.
Every night?
Right.
That's dedication, all right. And so this occurred, what we've got on tape here, or has been recorded, and I want to know how you record it. First of all, everybody should know that what you're getting on the website right now is pretty good. It's not, you know, it had to be, we had to shrink it down a little bit from the original. The original is sparkling clear, and this is pretty good. What we've got here is pretty good. So this was taken on the night of the 12th?
Yeah, this was on the 12th at about 7:30. And we were up there. I better start from the beginning.
Sure.
I was contacted about a year or so ago from this guy named Rob that's been studying the phenomenon in northwest Phoenix. And we went out to his house, and sure enough, he's been getting some lights on a video. So a few months passed, and I started receiving some more emails from a guy named Josh that was seeing the objects in Cave Creek. So we went out to the site on the 12th, and we were looking around for lights, and sure enough, about 7:30, the first set of three lights appeared, and then the far light to the right skipped across in front to, ahead of the other two, and then the other light went out, and it skipped again ahead of the other two.
And then reappeared behind the cloud, right?
Right.
Or from behind the cloud, right. You know, they've done, first of all, thank you, everybody at the website, for getting this up for us in a timely manner. But they did a snap. They've got a little square around the lights on the front of the website right now, coasttocoastam.com, of course. And you look carefully, you can almost make out a form to go with this, or imagine that you can.
Right.
Are you seeing that?
Well, Actually, yes, I am. And a matter of fact, we slowed the video down, and you can see as the light disappears and reappears in a different area, you could see it streak to that area. Like it's moving so fast that you can't see it until it reappears.
What kind of video equipment were you using?
Well, at that moment, I was using my friend's video camera. We have several cameras, and I was using a Sony Handycam. It's a DCR HC85 Super Steady Shot. It's got 10 optical zoom and 120 digital zoom. It's got a Carl lens, and that's one of the best lenses there is.
Indeed. It's an extremely clear shot, extremely clear. And when you sent it to me, you said you had not yet sent it to anybody else. I would think this video in its own way is so startling, you probably could have gone and sold it.
Well, see, Art, the thing is only the researchers that I work with have a copy of the video. I emailed it to them earlier. And the thing is I don't want to sell my footage, really. If it's going to be on some big old documentary and they want to pay me for my footage, I don't have a problem with that because it's real UFO video.
It sure is.
And we spend a lot of money and a lot of time hunting for these things.
I'm sure you do.
And so it would be kind of a payback in a way because we spend so much time. But I must say, most of my footage, when I look for footage, I spend most of my time looking for UFOs during the daytime because I do have way more day shots than I do night shots.
That's interesting also. Now, is Phoenix, do you feel that Phoenix is obviously a continuing hotspot? I mean, what's going on in Phoenix?
Yeah, Phoenix has always been a hotbed for UFOs, but it comes in waves and flaps, I noticed, in different towns, too. Like in 2001 2000 through 2001, they had the red light sightings over there in Gilbert. And, if you check, I'm sure you're familiar with Peter Davenport's site, but if you ever check Peter's site on the Arizona page, you'll notice the waves that they come in. Like, Gilbert will get, a lot of sightings, and then Chandler, they come in waves.
All right, out of curiosity, after you filmed this, you quickly called Luke Air Force Base, right?
Yeah, I called them that night, and they said that to call the public relations office in the morning, so I called the public relations office. And I talked to a lieutenant, and the lieutenant told me, after checking with some other people, after being on hold for about 10 minutes, they said that they had no idea what I saw.
No idea?
No idea.
Did they want to see your video?
No, they should express no interest whatsoever.
No interest?
Mm-hmm.
Well, obviously what you caught was something really big, or something, at very least, very strange, and... Isn't it a little odd that, the Air Force, which is responsible for homeland security and, keeping our skies and us safe, would have no interest?
Yeah, that's what I was telling the other researchers. I think that it's my obligation to let these people know that, this phenomenon is happening over people's houses. And I think the government really should come forward and tell the people that the UFO phenomenon is real and it exists, because with this type of smoking gun evidence, how can they deny it?
Well,
I think it's over already just because of the video camera.
What would you, yes, thank God for the video camera. What would you say to those who say, well, somehow in some weird way or reflection or something, he caught some kind of airplane?
Well, that's very laughable, because anybody that can see the... the video, how you seen it when I sent it, the quality of it.
Yes.
Without it being all compressed, even though it's still remarkable on the website, it still looks good. You can just tell by the way that the object moves that it's moving at such an incredible speed that if we have this and this is a secret airplane of the United States,
mm-hmm.
then I think everybody can rest easy from now on, because we have something out there that can totally annihilate anybody, I think.
Yeah, obviously. Also, I would say that if any documentary maker wants to contact you, they should, because the original video is so clear that I would think with some fancy equipment, that could be blown up without losing a lot of resolution to the point where you might make some more discoveries, definitely. At any rate, in that little square on the front page, you can watch the video, folks. The video is very exciting. But in the little square, I think I can, let's see what other people say, but I make out a form And I'm not so sure it's not a triangle.
Right, right. The first set of lights, it appears in three, like it is a triangular shape.
That's right.
And then the other two appear to the left of that, and as the other lights go off, as it skips across the sky, it's just amazing to watch it because it's so real. Actually, to tell you the truth, on the video end of the UFO investigation, I've been doing it for 10 years, and I've shot a lot of day video and a bit of night footage, and this is the best I've ever shot.
Absolutely, no question about it. I mean, this, for one thing, it's a major occurrence over Phoenix. Now, when we have the Phoenix lights, let me go ahead and do my break and get right back to you. Stay
okay.
Right where you are. I'll be right back. Once again, Jeff Willis, and I want to again specify that I have the original uncompressed version of what you're seeing on the website right now. You can actually run the video. You can go to the website and run the video, and it is quite spectacular. The uncompressed version is ever more spectacular. I mean, it's just perfectly clear, and I'll say it again. Anybody who wants something really odd for a documentary, this is it. And I think that with the proper video equipment, it could be made to even look much better because you can dig down a little without losing resolution. So you captured one, Jeff. Were there any other reports, out of curiosity?
That's what I was getting to. I think it's amazing that when I taped this, that it was actually, partly daylight still. You know, the sun was just starting to go down, so it's just starting to get dark.
Right.
So you can see in between each object, and you can almost make out a shape, but at the same time, it's like kind of clear, like see-through, you know?
No, but were radio stations inundated with calls? Peter Davenport?
That's what I was getting to. The sighting lasted about 7 seconds, I would say. And, with the city as big as Phoenix, with about 3 million people, you would think that we would get some reports, but I really have not done a proper investigation to see if anybody had reported this thing on Thursday night at 7:30, because I've been so busy since this happened, getting ready, getting the files ready and the website. So, if anybody saw this on Thursday, I would really like you to contact me. And
there's a way to contact you on the website,
right,
which we've got listed up there. Jeff, what drives you to do this?
Well, I had some experiences when I was a kid that really drove me to it. I seen a close-up UFO when I was 10 years old, and I bought my first 35-millimeter camera when I was 13 to try to get a still photo of a UFO again.
Huh.
From that point, it just progressed.
So it's been with you all your life, really?
Pretty much.
Adult life.
Pretty much.
All right. Well, you sure did nail it this time, buddy.
Yeah, I know.
If you were forced to make a guess about what you obviously caught on video here, what do you think you were taping?
Well, I would have to base it on everything that I taped up to the point that I taped that, because that puts the puzzle together for me that this is definitely extraterrestrial vehicles. For sure.
Why do you say that? As against the possibility of experimental United States government stuff?
Well, because basically the way that the crafts move. I mean, I know that we could have some intelligence that could make it move, rather quickly, but just what I would to see it with my own eyes, to be able to see that, the only thing I can really tell you is, in my opinion, I don't think it's us at all, for sure.
All right, well, whatever it is, it's a big coup. And I've told everybody who ever interviewed me seriously on this topic of UFOs that, look, in view of what these craft are able to do, it's either them, or if it's us, then we have technology way, way beyond anything even hinted at.
Absolutely.
Either way, though, it's a big story.
It is, and I think that we should really, the government should really come out just tell us that they're here. It's been too long already.
Other
governments have, so why can't we?
That's right. All right, buddy, you're going to take a lot of hits on your site tonight. So
thanks a lot.
Good luck, and keep on trucking.
Definitely, and I'll get the next one to you, if it's that good.
By all means. It took you how long to get this one?
Well, we've been hunting the area for a better part of a month right now, but we had visited the area several times before that.
Just waiting hours and hours each time?
Well, yeah. Sometimes we wait like an hour, and then sometimes, we catch something right away.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you very much.
And for those who would like to see it, we've got it up on the website right now. And you can get it in streaming form. Now, in getting it to reasonable streaming form, knowing that millions of you would hit the site, which you're presently doing, it had to be compressed a little bit, and I am sorry for that. But believe me when I tell you, the version I have, which, I don't know, it's probably about 8 megs or so, is just, it's absolutely knock you down spectacular. So congratulations, Jeff. What you got is obviously anomalous and deserves explanation, not that I think one will be forthcoming. The bodies of 38 men shot execution style were found dumped around an abandoned chicken farm, a trash-strewn lot, and an insurgent stronghold west of the capital in Baghdad on Sunday. The grisly finds were the latest in an endless stream of violence, much of it designed to destabilize Iraq's new government and hasten a U.S. retreat, all this occurring as Rice visits Iraq. Newsweek magazine has apologized for errors in a story alleging that interrogators at the U.S. detention center in Guantanamo Bay desecrated the Quran, saying it would re-examine the accusations, which sparked outrage and deadly protests in Afghanistan. 15 people died, scores injured in violence between protesters and security forces, prompting U.S. promises to investigate the allegations in Afghanistan. Muslim leaders gave Washington 3 days to offer a response to the story. Doctors were just hoping to treat symptoms when they gave people with a deadly blood disorder a drug to reduce the need for transfusions. Surprise, surprise, nearly half of them had the disease go into arrest altogether. So remember now, this is how so many good drugs are found. They just they think they'll do one thing and they end up doing another. Specialists said the experimental drug Revlimid now looks like a breakthrough and the first effective treatment for many people with myelodysplastic syndrome, or MDS, which is even more common than leukemia. So that would indeed be a very large breakthrough. The Yellowstone caldera has been classified now as a high threat for volcanic eruption, according to a report from the U.S. Geological Survey. They rate Yellowstone now as 21st, you might want to know, as most dangerous of the 169 volcano centers in the U.S. Yellowstone ranking 21st of that 169, Kilauea in Hawaii received the highest overall threat score, followed by Mount St. Helens, Mount Rainier in Washington, Mount Hood in Oregon, and Mount Shasta in California, near which mountain, I wonder, do you live? Here's a very interesting story called The Dark Side of the Band, and I wish I had time to read it all. But basically, it talks about those weird shortwave numbers stations, stations where a young lady will be heard going 5, 27, 64, 33, 12, and then she will just endlessly go on like that. Well, interestingly, in England, where they have sort of admitted that yes, these kind of stations are there, and they're there for a very good reason. The agency making that exclamation put an ad in a newspaper looking for. And I remember it's coming from a British intelligence agency. It says, "Part-time cleaner, domestic support." £16,903 pro rata. Some of the work we do makes front page news. Some of it remains strictly behind the scenes, but whether you read all about it or not, we play a vital role in helping protect the UK from threats like crime, drugs, and terrorism. We want you to go under the covers in our London office and ensure it's clean and tidy. Duties aren't set in stone, though, so you should be flexible and willing to lend a hand whenever we need it. That's a job for a cleaner. A cleaner for MI-12 or whatever. Part-time cleaner / domestic support. Don't forget, duties are flexible and you should be willing to lend a hand whenever we might need it. In other words, even as a duster and a cleaner, be ready to lay down your life for the mother country. From the high desert in the middle of the night, this is Coast to Coast AM. Open lines coming right up.
With Art Bell, call the wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call Art at 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art Bell by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
John in Beaufort, Georgia, offers up the obvious. Hey, Art, a cleaner is usually spoken of in these circles as a hitman. Be careful who you ask to do your cleaning. Well, right. Right, John, I know. I knew that as I read this cute little paragraph published in a London paper. Would you respond to an ad like that from a, well, the equivalent of our CIA? Would you be intrigued enough to want to be perhaps a cleaner? Just before going to the lines, once again, I want to thank Jeff Willis for capturing for us what is clearly a second case of Phoenix Lights, not as widely seen, but no less mysterious at all, and captured in very high-resolution video. And once again, I want to warn those of you that are going to the site that you're seeing a somewhat compressed version of it. The original is just sparkling clear. I mean, some of the, you know, it looks like commercial-grade video. And my feeling is that any good video studio could probably dig down quite a bit without losing original resolution, and perhaps even get form from this object or objects that Jeff Willis filmed. Hot stuff. Believe me, hot stuff. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
How you doing, Art?
Very well, thank you.
I've been listening to your show for years, you and George, and actually it's the first time I've called, and I got right in.
Well, there you go. That's why we have a first-time caller line.
I know this is a little bit off the subject. I wanted to mention Father Malachi Martin, who I guess you had interviewed several times over the years before he died. I was curious, how many interviews did you do with him?
You know, I honestly don't know. It was quite a large number. I interviewed him originally and realized that I had, you know, found a gold mine, and he was definitely a one-of-a-kind man. There's no replacing Father Malachi Martin. There's nobody else like him. He was was one-of-a-kind, believe me.
Oh, indeed. I heard the first interview that he gave with him. It totally intrigued me, and I'd just been trying to find any information on him. Actually, I was going to go look for a couple of his books I wanted to read.
I would hardly recommend it. He had the inside key to the Vatican. He knew what really was going on in the Vatican, and I still am not personally convinced of the manner of his death.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Well, really.
I said that, I did not know. Mm-hmm. What year did he die?
Oh, gee. What's it been now? I don't know. I'd have to look it up. It's been, 3 or 4 years ago now.
But yeah, very, very intriguing man. I saw The Exorcist as a child and scared the hell out of me. And, you know, you just go on and you think, it's all hocus pocus. But there's something in that man, in his interview, very believable.
Thank you very much. There was no hocus pocus involved in Father Malachi Martin. None at all. Let me see. Father Malachi Martin, born July 23rd, 1921, ordained August 15th of 1954, and passed away July 27th, there you go, of 1999. So it's been a while. He's an incredible, incredible man. Definitely one of a kind. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi.
Oh, Art?
Yes, hi.
Oh, hi there. I'm Dave, driving my independent cab about 30 miles northwest of New York. And, I was busy last night, but I did tune in a little after 3.
Oh, yes.
And, it was a classic show. I'm sorry I only heard the last, I guess I missed the first hour of the interview. As I tuned in, you mentioned something about the field, and tonight we are having more bombardments through the atmosphere. This brought to mind a connection between a couple of shows from last year. And the first couple times I tried to call, late last summer through the holidays, my contribution was kind of half-formed, but it was carried by enthusiasm. And then you finally provided what I felt was the capper to it. And bear with me here a moment. You had mid to late summer last year, Lou McTaggart discussing her book about the zero-point field.
Correct.
And I was enthralled because it was so close to my layman's theories that I'd pieced together through my life.
You're aware that Nick Cook, who wrote Hunt for a Zero Point, is going to be our guest, you know, tonight.
Really?
You didn't,
my God,
you didn't know that? My goodness, man, right on
the
point.
The symmetry won't quit because there was a moment from last night and tonight, which was the field that you're talking about, the atmosphere, that brought to mind a connection between 3 shows last year, and this would be 2 triple crowns. And I'm just going to shoo away my customers so I can give you my full attention tonight. Well, from last year, when you first had Lynn McTaggart on, I was enthralled, and I had to call. I didn't have much to say. Matter of fact, the first time you ever answered the phone, these drunken revelers stumbled into the street in front of me. You answered the phone. I went, I'm flustered. And you said, okay, which was about all you could say. 2 weeks later, you had on Chief, I believe the last name's Becker, who was the lie detector tracings. And about 5 minutes into the interview, I'm like, well, this is the field at work. Later in the show...
Well, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I don't know. But I do know that... I do know that the subject we're going to tackle tonight with Nick Cook, Hunt for Zero Point, you know, our planet's in trouble. Energy-wise, we're in really big trouble. And there is going to have to be something like this, if not 0 point, then something like it. And maybe there is no replacement for it. Maybe that's what we must find. An energy source that is all around us. I've had some hint with the experiments that I've done here that it's very real. I don't know. I've just got hints of it. You know, I've got, as you know, 5 acres of antenna up here, a very, very large antenna on 13 towers. And there is an unaccountably large amount of voltage that is always present on this antenna, on clear, calm, sunny days. You can measure that voltage as well as you can on stormy days. Measuring it on stormy days carries a significant risk with it, so I don't really do that. But even on the clean, clear, windless, cloudless days, that energy is always present. And so there's something to it all. It's Tesla-like, it's 0 point, it's something. But there is definitely an energy that perhaps we can tap. Well, hopefully we can tap. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Yes. Hi, Art. This is Ian. I'm known also by Rahi on the World Wide Web. I want to talk about the lights there over Arizona.
Yes.
I actually live in upstate New York, Glens Falls area. And those lights in the video feed that you have on your website is pretty same as the lights I see, but I see in different color. I see them in white bleeps in the air, and sometimes I see them one or two at a time, and they pulsate in the air, and they flash like a light going on really fast.
Well, when you saw the video tonight, did it remind you of what you see?
Yes, very much, because like the way like the light one place at a time, and then it zooms over at a high speed to another spot.
Right, exactly right. Yes.
See, the lights I see in upstate New York, they're actually white, and they like pulsate really fast for probably almost a second.
Well, there is no question, sir. There's something in our skies. No doubt some of it is ours. I'm sure we're doing experimental work, although not as advanced as would be suggested by what you see here in this video and many other things. At least not that I know of. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Good evening. I'm Scott, Anaheim, California.
Hey.
In reference to Phoenix Lights,
yes, sir.
The other gentleman feels it's not of this origin, yet you feel that it is some form of domestic. And my question
No. Let's be very careful. I think there's about a 50-50, maybe 60-40 probability in favor of it being U.S. experimental aircraft, but when I say 60-40, the 60 is in favor of extraterrestrial, because these things do things that, sir, we just don't have yet.
Indeed. Let's say it is not of this origin. Why always Phoenix?
Good question.
And then if it is a United States in coalition with an outside source, is running experiments, why Phoenix? Why the same? Even crop circles don't happen in the same area. And that's the only thing I can't figure out.
I can tell you this much. Quite obviously, what have you seen the video yet?
I've seen not the one you're talking about. But
you've seen the original one, huh?
Well,
I don't have the answer as to why Phoenix, but there's nothing hooked up about it. Clearly, it's the real McCoy, such as a UFO is a real McCoy. I mean, it's really beyond easy explanation.
Well, how about being a ham radio operator like yourself? You know about atmospheric conditions. You know about the ionization. Could it be very much? You were talking about Tesla. I read Tesla's autobiography. He believes that electricity does exist in the air somehow. That could be extracted.
Yes.
Now, he based this on the theory that he must have saw something such as the Phoenix Lights. Again, that's a theory, a compound theory. But I appreciate your time, Mr. Bell. Thank you.
All right. Take care. I'm not sure that any sightings Tesla had relates to the theory of energy in virtually in the atmosphere all around us. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, Art.
Yes.
Yes, I wanted to talk to Art.
You are talking to Art. Turn your radio off, sir.
Yes.
You're actually on the air right now, and so having on the radio is a bad thing.
Well, what we need is the kingdom of God that Jesus spoke about. All these problems that man has no solution for.
Yes.
We need God's rulership, because man's rulership has not brought us anywhere.
But God bestowed upon us, sir, free will. And so he's sort of standing back and watching right now. And that's, I guess that's the whole game. We were given free will, and so we're going to do what we're going to do.
But man has misused that free will.
So you want him to come down and rule like Saddam, huh?
No. A loving rulership.
A loving rule of the ship.
Where people can be united in peace with one another, not all these divisive governments that are out there killing one another. And
so would all the governments then cede their power to God when he arrived? Is that how it would work?
Well, that's what the Bible speaks about in the Battle of Armageddon, man's war against God. And it's coming down to it where you're having all these religious wars, and people were saying that this war on terrorism is actually a war on Islam.
Hmm. I don't know about that. It certainly could turn out, God help us, that we would be at war with Islam. Nobody wants that to happen. I noticed the president, in all his statements, has been extremely careful to delineate between the terrorists, the small number of Islamic terrorists, and Islam itself, the larger Islam. We don't want a war with Islam, and I hope it doesn't turn out to be that. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art.
Hi. Turn your radio off, please.
Got it.
Good. What's up?
I'm over there, a truck driver over here just south of Washington, D.C. tonight. I got a question for you. Refresh my memory. When exactly did you have that UFO sighting over
Monarch? The one of the triangle?
Yes.
It was, I believe, 1997, sir. I think it was 97.
Okay. On that note, you know, personally, I tend to think that they are, most of them are UFOs as well. And don't you think that...
By that, you mean extraterrestrial craft?
Correct. Yes, extraterrestrial craft. And with that thought in mind, you know, as long as the government, I don't doubt that they do have experimental aircraft, but as long as people have been reporting seeing these triangular-shaped craft,
yes,
if they were U.S. government, I mean, I would think that we would have used them somewhere, tested them somewhere.
Well, I tend to agree with that.
Americans would have seen them.
Yeah, I do agree with that. I really do agree with that. Actually, now, prior to my sighting, our sighting, I should say, my wife and I have that incredible craft. I mean, it was so close you could have thrown a rock if you hadn't been in total shock. These kinds of sightings were prolific in Belgium. And then I think we had one of the first ones in the U.S., and following our sighting, the rest is history. There have been sightings all over the country, thousands of them, of these triangles. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello?
Hello.
Is this Art?
Good guess.
Okay. I'm calling from Central Texas. My name's Stacy. Listening on KLIF in Dallas.
Right.
I know it's exactly 4 years ago, because the night before 9/11, you had happened on to something on the radio with the numbers, random numbers. It was a man giving them. And you played it quite a while. And then... What has kind of bothered me for all these years is about 2 weeks later, there was a newscast saying that they had raided one of the apartments in Boston of the suspected terrorists, and they said that in one of the pairs of trousers that they located there in the apartment...
Mm-hmm.
Sewn in one of the pockets was a small strip of paper with random numbers on it.
Hmm. Well, I wouldn't doubt it for a second. I mean, numbers are used as codes by terrorists and by our government and the British government, and people have been trying for years to figure out what these numbers stations exactly are. There are those, for example, who think they have something to do with the use of nuclear devices. Only in some number of years. For example, there is a very intriguing station that's at 4625 kilohertz. 4625 kilohertz. The same station on that frequency has been broadcasting the same signal for 20 years. A buzzing tone repeated 25 times a minute, which has earned it the nickname the Buzzer, and it's located about 30 kilometers northwest of Moscow. Apart from the buzzing, 4625 has only broadcast voice messages twice in all of those years. Why the frequency is being reserved is a total mystery. One avid listener, a shortwave enthusiast who served in the Canadian military, suggested, quote, it is a last reserve frequency reserved for extreme emergencies, such as just prior to the potential outbreak of nuclear conflict, end quote. Fascinating stuff. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi. Hello. Going once, going twice, gone. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, Art, how you doing? Tim from Chandler, Arizona.
Yes, sir.
Listen, maybe someday I'll get my extra and can talk to you on 38.4, but for now, good evening.
Good evening.
Hey, whatever happened to William Cooper? And did you ever interview him on your show?
No, William Cooper was shot.
Okay. You're
not aware of what happened to William Cooper?
Well, I don't know the details, but I...
He was shot in a dispute with the police.
Okay.
Sheriff's deputy, actually.
Okay. So you never had him on your show as a guest, huh?
Never.
Okay. Just curious.
Curiosity solved.
Thank you, sir.
Later. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi.
Yeah, hi, Art.
Only have a moment. We're about to have to close up for this hour. What's up?
Okay, we got some information. Have you ever heard of Newswatch magazine? We got some information about this thing with this war in Iraq. We found out it was planned decades ago by the British.
By the British?
Yeah, and they said William Trotsky, which is Leo Trotsky's son, and the British, they're communist neoconservatives.
Oh, the
British.
And
they all planned this. Decades ago.
I think so. All right. Well, listen, I've got to run. However, I did have an article here on the British having released a document that virtually says the war in Iraq had nothing to do with WMDs, and before the war ever broke out, we pretty much knew that. From the high desert in the middle of the night, Nick Cook's coming up with the hunt for 0 point. I'm Art Bell.